Matthew Stuckey here, and I wanted to make a quick video on the topic of what does it mean to be a qualified pastor? What does it mean to be a qualified pastor? And this is a topic that here in the Philippines amongst Baptist churches, it's a very debated topic about what is required to actually be a pastor. But, you know, honestly, the Bible is just pretty clear on this subject. It's really not that complicated. So we're going to look at just some different aspects and things that are required in order to be qualified as a pastor. What does the Bible say? Well, in Titus 1 verse 5, the Bible reads, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." And the Bible talks about setting in order the things that are wanting, meaning that there is a need, there is a desire for people to be running churches. There is a desire and a need, you know, of like-minded people, of having a like-minded church to be a part of. The same thing is true today. All over the Philippines, many people are listening to online preaching that are like-minded and zealous for the things of God. And they don't necessarily have a church that is 100% behind them. And it's definitely wanting that there are elders ordained in every city. Does that mean that we should just ordain, you know, one person every week and just start 50 new churches here in 2021? Well, the Bible also gives us the wisdom of lay hands suddenly on no man, and things are to be done decently and in order. So we don't want just this free-for-all church ordinations or pastor ordinations, just, you know, just ordain lots of different people with no qualifications. There's actually qualifications set in the Bible. So what does it say in verse 6? It says, "If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly." Now, if you're just going to take this and read it literally, it says you must be the husband of one wife, meaning you're a man who's married to a woman, having faithful children, meaning that you have, you know, at least two children that are faithful, not accused of riot or unruly. Now, I want you to understand that, you know, it's very clear that you must be a man. You're the husband of one wife. And very few Baptists would disagree with that. They'd say amen to that. But then if you tell them that, well, this man must be married to a woman, it's like, well, how dare you, you know, say that someone's not qualified simply because they're not married. But the Bible says you must be the husband of one wife. And so it's like godly ladies aren't just getting mad at what the Bible says, that they can't be elders. And so if you're a godly man who doesn't fit these qualifications, you shouldn't get angry at the word of God either. And if you do, it just shows that you're not really zealous for the things of God, because this is just clearly what the Bible says. It says that, you know, the husband of one wife, meaning that you have to be married, and it says having faithful children. Now, I interpret that to mean that you have multiple children, not just simply that the children that you have are faithful. Now, I will say, you know, to be fair and honest, that if you cross-reference in the Bible, you know, children can be implying not necessarily two or more, but just that you have at least one child, but, you know, however many children you have, they are faithful. And I understand that interpretation, but I would disagree here in Titus chapter 1, because both here in Titus chapter 1 and in 1 Timothy 3, it's highlighting a specific person and showing that they need to have faithful children, which to me shows that they need to have multiple children that are not accused of riot and unruly, that are faithful. And so when it comes to not being accused of riot or unruly, you know, what's the proper age for this? And what is the standard? Well, yeah, there's a bit of a gray area situation with that aspect of it. But the fact that you're married and you have kids, that's not really a gray area aspect. So when it comes to being qualified to be a pastor, just quite simply, you need to be married as a man with multiple children. And that's not really that complicated. And they have to have proven themselves to be faithful, not accused of riot or unruly. But another aspect of being qualified as a pastor is that you're not disqualified. And what I mean by that is a person can get ordained as a pastor, but then they can disqualify themselves from the ministry if they get involved in various sins or do things that are wrong or terrible. You know, when you look in the Bible at King Saul, King Saul was chosen to be king, and then God said, you know, "Quit crying for him, Samuel. I've rejected him." And so he said, "I'm going to find a man after mine own heart." And then David was ordained. And so all throughout the Bible, you see that, how people can be chosen by God and then they can lose their position if they commit various sins, even though King Saul was originally chosen. It's the same thing with being a pastor. Someone can get ordained as a pastor, but if they commit sins that are so grievous, such as committing adultery or having children, you know, with other women or whatever, or being a drunk and committing big sins or prostitution or whatever, they would disqualify themselves from the ministry. And so there's certain sins that will get you kicked out of the Bible according to 1 Corinthians. And if a pastor is guilty of committing those sins, obviously he would be disqualified. Now, there could be some gray area situations with certain amount of sin or worldliness the pastor was involved in. But if they commit sins that are very obvious, like committing adultery, they're not qualified to be a pastor, and they've been rejected by God, even if they were originally chosen by God. Now, the reason why I bring that up is here in the Philippines, many Baptist pastors have committed adultery, and some of them many different times, and it is known, and people are aware of it, but the justification is, well, they were called by God, they were chosen by God, so how dare you try to take away that qualification? And we're supposed to just forgive them, even though they've disqualified themselves from the ministry. But Saul was rejected by God, even though he was originally chosen. So you can commit sins that would get you disqualified. So if there's somebody who's a pastor, he might have several kids, but if he commits a sin like adultery, he is no longer a pastor, he's disqualified, and you know what? You should leave that church because the person you have running that church is not a pastor. Maybe they were at one time, but they have completely lost their position of being a pastor. So number one, you have to meet the requirements of family, just being married with children. Number two, you have to not be disqualified after you get ordained as a pastor. Number three, you know, you have to have a certain character and personal walk with God. And so both in 1 Timothy 3 and here in Titus chapter 1, it mentions a lot of different things of requirements of your personality and how you have to basically lay down your life for other people, not be a brawler, not be given to wine, and all of these different things. And these are requirements for getting ordained in the ministry. Now, when it comes to this aspect of being qualified, the church that's going to ordain you and the person running that church that's going to ordain you, these are things that, you know what, they're going to have to look at it and make a decision based on your character and your walk as you've spent time in that ministry. And you need to personally just look at yourself and decide if you're ready or if there's still areas that you need to work on. And look, if there are areas that you need to work on, then you need to do that ahead of time and just try to prepare yourself. And so you will be qualified, and then the person who would ordain you at that church would look at you and say, hey, this person's a real deal. Now realize, the Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. So the only way that you can really prove yourself with character, right, is over a period of time. And so this is not that you just join a church and 1 week later they ordain you. Or it's a church that you're not a member of, and then they just ordain you, and they don't really know you. They've never really been around you. They've never seen you running any ministries or anything like that. That's not appropriate according to the Bible. The only way you can prove your character to someone who's going to ordain you is if they actually see you in action over a period of time. And so number one, you need to be married with children. Number two, you need to make sure you're not disqualified. You need to make sure that you've never committed adultery and major sins, which many Baptist pastors here in the Philippines are guilty of, and yet they're still some of the main speakers at these big Baptist conferences. It's a joke. It's laughable. Number three, you have to have a character and personal walk according to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. Number four, you need to have knowledge of the Bible. You need to have knowledge of the Bible. And so when it comes to ordaining someone to the ministry, when it comes to a pastor that will choose to ordain someone, they've got to make a judgment call on various things. And one of those things is having knowledge. Look, if you're going to preach several sermons a week, you need to have knowledge of the Bible in order to do that. And so there's going to be a requirement of perhaps an amount of time reading the Bible cover to cover, whether it's 10 times, 20 times, whether it's also memorizing certain scriptures or verses or chapters or books of the Bible. Different churches could have different ordination processes. And you know what, this is something that's important because if you're going to run a church, you need to have knowledge. Here in the Philippines, many of the pastors have never read the Bible cover to cover, and they freely admit that. And it's just like, you know, how are you really qualified to be a pastor? Now, they might have had somebody lay hands on them and ordain them to the ministry, but you know, if they don't have any knowledge, they're not really qualified to be in that position. Now, how would God look at that ordination and that person who's ordained if they've never read the Bible cover to cover and they don't really have a personal walk? Well, I mean, you know, it's honestly in God's hands and in God's eyes to make that decision. But just because you get somebody to lay hands on you doesn't mean you're really qualified or ready for the job. And, you know, number five, finally, is this. You know, not only married with children, not only not disqualified, not only having character and personal walk, not only having knowledge of the Bible, but also having experience. And that's what the term elder is really highlighting, is you just have experience. And so when it comes to a person being ordained, they should not only get opportunities to preach, to develop their preaching skills, because you must be apt to teach according to the Bible, but they also should have, you know, opportunities to run various ministries or co-run ministries, or be in positions of leadership where they get a chance to interact with various people. They get a chance to start feeling comfortable dealing with people. And we need to realize that a bishop is really referring to oversight. So it's good to get experience before you're actually the head pastor of a church, where you get some degree of oversight and responsibility, so you can prove yourself worthy and be prepared when one day you are a pastor. Now, you know, you might be at a church where maybe one day you'll get ordained, or maybe there's various people out there that were ordained and their pastors or churches weren't that strict with the ordination, or maybe somebody got ordained by the Bible college, which is not God's method. God has the local church system. But, you know, maybe there's situations like that, and honestly, you know, God would kind of look down on those situations and make a decision. I'm not here to judge everybody's individual situation, how they're ordained or whether or not they're qualified. But my point is, there's things that are very clear, such as being married with children and not being disqualified. And when it comes to the other aspect of having character and knowledge and having experience, these are things that you would be foolish to not do before your pastor, because you're going to have a lot of difficulty if you're not prepared. And somebody might ordain you as a pastor, but if you're not prepared, it's just going to be a disaster. And you know what? You should seek to get experience and running various ministries and get opportunities to preach before you reach that point of actually getting ordained, so you're actually really qualified and prepared for that job. Now, I just want to close with this idea of the fact that if you were to go to the doctors, let's say you had an illness and you're really concerned, and all of a sudden you went to a doctor's, and you know, all of a sudden you found out there, the person said, well, you know, I call myself a doctor, but I actually never went to college. I never went to school for this. And I just started calling myself a doctor, and now I run this practice and people pay me money, even though I have no experience with these things. I mean, you look at that and you'd say that's crazy. You would go to a different doctor. And you know, in any aspect, any career, you know what, if you go there, they're going to have had experience and training, and they're going to have a process where somebody ordains them after a period of time where they've proven themselves. And that's what you would want. You don't want a surgeon operating on you who has no experience, and they just started calling themselves a surgeon and just started going to town without any experience whatsoever. But yet, when it comes to Christianity and religious things, people can call you pastors even if you're not pastors. People can call you elders, like the Mormons that go on their two-year missions even though they're 19-year-old kids with no experience. And it's like you can use whatever terms religiously and people don't think anything of it. Look, here in the Philippines, there are a lot of Baptist pastors, and many of these people are not married, or they don't have children, or they've been disqualified from the ministry, and they're still calling themselves pastors, and everyone's calling them pastors. And there's this free-for-all technique of just ordaining anyone to the ministry. The Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. Look, we definitely need a lot of great churches in the Philippines. We're starving for good churches, even though there's so many people that are looking for these churches. However, we need to do things decently and in order, like the Bible says, and there are requirements to actually being qualified for the ministry and being qualified to be a pastor, just like there's requirements to being qualified to any career that you would go into. Thank you, and God bless.